Let's Get Moving with Maria. Inspiration to spend a few minutes each day to get moving on the small things that can make a big difference in your life.
Thank you for joining me today for Let's Get Moving. Today we're going to talk about strength training. And with me, Luke Carlson, the CEO of Discover Strength. And Luke, thanks so much for being with me today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So, Luke, first of all, I want you kind of to describe what strength training is. Many of us just think, oh, strength training is picking up a few weights and just kind of building some strength, but kind of give us a better definition of what we're talking about.
So, okay, that's our starting point, right? Strength training is weight training, resistance exercise. It's the idea that we are trying to build our muscle strength, maybe what we call muscle hypertrophy, the amount of lean muscle we have, improve our bone mineral density. That's how we've looked at it for literally decades. Now we look at strength training a little bit differently because we know that strength training actually is a wonderful way to ward off chronic disease, cardiovascular disease, stroke, cancer risk, ward off a decline in our cognitive function. So we're uncovering so many what I like to call saw sharpening. We can call them health protective benefits of strength training that have nothing to do with our strength. But when we say strength training, we are talking about weight training, resistance exercise of any kind. That might be a machine. It might be a free weight. It might be a band. It might just be our body weight. It all falls under the category of strength training.
So describe why this is important for all ages, not just those of us that are young adults or those of us who are middle-aged. Why it's important for all of us?
Yeah, such a great question. I think the last 3 years of scientific research, the theme in the exercise science research that emerges is if you want to age well, we're actually not called to be physically active, and I love physical activity. We're called to engage in strength training. We know that the stronger you are, the harder it is to kill you. I mean, there is a direct correlation between muscle strength and or indirect correlation, inverse relationship, I'm sorry, between muscle strength and death from all causes. We know that if you're a male with hypertension, okay, high blood pressure, the stronger you are, the less likely you're to die of the comorbidities of hypertension or high blood pressure. If we want to age well, we have to maintain our lean muscle tissue, our muscle strength. Our muscle strength is what allows us to be more functional. We can move, and when we're more functional, we remain independent later in life. So now let's jump to being 70, 80, 90 years of age. Our muscle strength is the major determining factor of our gait, our walking speed, our balance. We actually don't improve our balance by practicing balancing. Our balance improves when our leg muscles get stronger. So and I'm going to restate this. Over the last 30 years, the biggest discovery is that strength training is not about our muscles just being stronger. And that's how we always thought about it, right? You're a football player, you got to strength train. Now we have research that says, well, actually strength training for 6-year-olds up to 18-year-olds improves academic performance. Hmm. So strength training is a foundational way for us to ward off chronic disease, to age better, to perform at a higher level. We look at strength training as a major driver of cognitive function. So we think about white-collar jobs and knowledge workers and people running companies and making decisions. Well, it's an evidence-based statement to say that them strength training twice per week is a really evidence-based approach to performing better in the workplace. So we have a more well-rounded, robust understanding of the why that underpins our strength training. It's not about muscles, and it's not about, you know, getting ready to play sports, which is how we always thought about it, right, 20, 30 years ago. And I think that paradigm still exists. When we talk to our primary care physicians, they think, well, you got to be more active. And now very clearly the recommendation should be, well, you can be more active, but you probably should just start with strength training first and then let the activity stem from strength training.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about that activity. Should strength training be used right along cardio, or is it something that you can just boost your activity and then just begin strength training? Kind of give us an idea.
Well, we know that you should do both. Okay, so the first understanding here is it turns out that we receive cardiovascular benefit, cardiorespiratory benefit, from strength training alone. So if someone just strength trains, they ward off chronic disease, cardiovascular disease risk. If you want to prevent heart disease, we should strength train. The American Heart Association just came out with their big position statement saying Strength training is good for warding off heart disease, okay, full stop. But we know the literature says that if you do both, strength training and some cardio, you have even more protection. So as much as I love strength training, I love cardio also. We should be doing both. It just turns out that strength training is probably a little bit more important. How do we do both? Well, we can strength train about twice per week. Literature is pretty clear. If we do cardio about twice per week, we're probably maximizing our cardiovascular disease risk protection.
We are beginning a new year when everyone is thinking about losing some extra pounds, getting fit, getting healthier. How do people begin with strength training, a little bit more activity, and how do they become successful? Because it seems like people get started, they last for a couple of weeks, if that long, and then suddenly they're like, oh, this is too hard.
Yeah, I love your question. I love your question. The first thing we just have to address is, interestingly enough, and this is depressing, exercise is not good for weight loss. So another way to look at it is exercise really doesn't do what we're all using it for. And I wish this wasn't the case, but the literature is very clear. Either cardio or strength training are not good for weight loss. That's not controversial in the academic research. It's pretty controversial among exercisers. Everyone's using exercise to lose weight. But the good news is doing cardio boosts what's called our VO2 max, which is just a level of our aerobic fitness. It's a laboratory test. But doing cardio boosts the VO2 max. Doing strength training also boosts the VO2 max. But doing strength training makes us stronger. So getting stronger and improving your aerobic fitness, those two elements are more predictive of death from all causes than are we overweight or obese. So it is a bigger risk factor for you to be weak and thin than to be fat. To be weak and thin is a bigger risk factor than to be thin and or fat and strong. So we're called to get strong. We're called to drive that aerobic fitness. Now, your question was, well, how do we do it and actually stick with it?
Right.
That's the beauty of all the scientific research is it can actually be pretty simple. 20 minutes of strength training twice per week with a very basic program will maximize the results that we see. And the same is true of our cardio. We can do very little cardio, probably 15 minutes a couple times a week, just working a little bit harder. And the number one barrier to strength training in most of the developed world, but definitely in the U.S., is perceived complexity. People don't start it. And they don't stick with it because they think, well, how many sets and how many reps and how much weight and what kind of machine am I supposed to use? It turns out that if we do 5 or 6 exercises, strength training exercises on a machine or a free weight or with a band that cover all of our major muscle groups, and we do that just twice per week, we're probably going to get at least, I say, 95% of the benefit. So the major message there is we can really keep it simple. Do it infrequently, do it for a short period of time. But the key is we have to do it pretty intentionally. And by intentionally, I really mean we have to do it with a degree of intensity. We have to work pretty hard. So our muscles have to be near the point of fatigue, near the point where we can't do another one. That's a safe way to do it. It's also a time-efficient way to do it. It's a pretty palatable way to do it for most of our schedules.
For those people who maybe don't get to the gym, want to maybe start some strength training at home, what would be your best advice to them? Can they do that at home without a huge amount of cost?
Yeah, absolutely. So as much as I love gyms and love fancy equipment, scientific research is pretty clear that we can use our body weight and produce really good results. So here's what we have to do at home. When we use a body weight exercise, so if we're doing a squat with just our body weight or a push-up, the key is that we want to move slowly. If you do a strength training exercise quickly, you actually take tension off the muscle because you're using momentum. And most people strength train too quickly. They move their limbs too quickly. So if you're at home and you're doing a body weight squat or a body weight lunge or a push-up, for example, these are wonderful exercises. And maybe you're not strong enough to do a push-up. You can do a push-up on your stairs where your body, your torso is at an angle, and that becomes very doable. And as long as we're doing it very, very slowly, it is such a safe, effective way to do it. And we can do it with our body weight. We can do it at home. We can do it with very little cost. So a few basic exercises at home will go a very long way.
Okay, so give us some ideas of just a few, maybe a simple routine to get the year started that might actually help us to want to do more and actually take that step farther?
Yeah, so here's what I would do at home. I would start with these 3 to 4 exercises. I would do a wall sit. So this is just you sitting up against a wall. Your low back is against the wall, and your knees are bent at about a 90-degree angle. It looks like you're sitting in a chair, but you're just leaning against the wall. So this is working most of the major muscles of your legs, and you're doing this for time. So the first time you do it, it might be 30 seconds, and then you progress to 40 seconds, and maybe you can get up to 2 minutes. So that's a great exercise for your legs. I would follow that by a lunge exercise where you're actually walking forward and slowly dropping your back knee so it's close to the floor or touching the floor. So you're doing a walking lunge. So those are two wonderful leg exercises. For the upper body, I would do a push-up or a variation of a push-up. So if you can't do a push-up, and push-ups are hard to do, I would just lean up against stairs. So pick a higher stair, have your hands at the edge of the stair, slowly lower yourself so your chest gets closer to the stair, push yourself back up. That's pretty doable if you're on a stair. And as you get stronger, you can move further down the stairs and it'll become a little bit more difficult. That's a wonderful exercise for your chest and your tricep. The last exercise would be at home. If you don't have any equipment, I would sit down with your legs straight in front of you. You're on the floor. And I would take a towel and wrap the towel around the edge of your feet or the end of your feet with your legs straight. So one hand, each hand is holding on to the end of the towel, and I would pull the towel back. So you're driving your elbows back, trying to pull on the towel. Now, you're not actually moving. It's a static movement. But if you just pull and hold for about 90 seconds, that's an isometric contraction that's just wonderful for the muscles of the bicep and the muscles of the upper back. If you just did those 4 exercises and you really worked with a high level of intensity, and that would take you maybe 8 to 10 minutes, and you'd produce really good results.
What do you think the biggest reason is that people don't do strength training or don't succeed at doing strength training?
Yeah, so I'll give you 2. I think it's what we said before. It's perceived complexity. You know, if a physician says, go home and walk, well, we can wrap our heads around that. We have no problem walking. If they say go home and strength train, well, I don't know how to do it. So there's perceived complexity. And I think the second one, and this is more powerful, we are uneducated. We're just uninformed around the saw sharpening benefits, the robust health protective benefits of strength training exercise. If people understood that strength training represents the best anti-aging medicine that we have, I mean, it's essentially, if you could put it into a pill, it'd be the most sought-after drug pharmaceutical out there. The benefits of strength training are so robust, and we've done a poor job of educating people around what those benefits are. And I think the people that are really into strength training are kind of into it for the wrong reasons. They're into it for, you know, maybe vanity and muscle and sports and so forth, and that's all great. But those people are the proponents of strength training. And when those people are the proponents, I don't think we're sharing the most important message, and that is, there are so many wonderful health protective benefits associated with strength training. And when we understand those benefits, that I think drives our motivation to actually doing the strength training exercise.
Before I make sure that people know how to get a hold of you and find out more about Discover Strength, do you have maybe a final thought that you'd like to leave folks with?
Yeah, so I think the final thought is you can strength train hard, which means a high level of intensity, briefly, 15 to 20 minutes per workout is enough, and infrequently, a couple times per week. So the research says hard, brief, and infrequent, and I think that's a palatable message.
So Luke, how do people find out more about you and Discover Strength?
Yeah, thanks for asking. They can go to discoverstrength.com, and of course, there's a tremendous amount of information there. Our Friday Fit Tips are there, and then of course, all of our locations are listed on that website as well.
All right, Luke, thank you so much for being with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
My guest today has been Luke Carlson. He is the CEO of Discover Strength. And thank you so much for joining us for Let's Get Moving. You can find Let's Get Moving wherever you like to listen to your podcast. You can also find it at kslpodcast.com. Also, check out all of our social media. We are on Instagram at Moving Maria and on Facebook at Let's Get Moving with Maria. You'll find some great tips. You'll find health tips, mental health tips, exercise, food ideas, all those things. And again, thanks for joining us. Have a great day.